Bev, always great having you. How's life these days?
Life is good, Steve. You know, it is March Madness, and there's a lot going on, particularly on the courts in the community. Kids Sports just wrapped up its basketball season this last weekend, and that spills over into, you know, a lot of kids and parents wanting to continue to watch both the men's and women's basketball teams in the, you know, in the postseason. Unfortunately, our men are out after last night, but the women are still going strong. And so we've got a few of our families heading to the game tonight to be supportive of those women that are our fighting ducks.
So I actually want to start there. You had an experience in the WNIT as the head coach. It was the 01-02 season, your first season as the coach. I'm just curious, well, what stands out in your memory about that season, the players, and while all aspire to the NCAAs, what it meant to get that invite and then just to say, hey, we're not in the NCAAs, let's go win the whole thing. And you did.
Yes, it was a disappointment. Obviously, that was my first year of coaching, and certainly in the shadow of Jody Runge's many years in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I thought our team really came together. We learned a lot about each other over the year, and you know, getting into the NIT, some of the players had previously been into the NCAA tournament. You know, we worked really hard to say this is sort of a new era, and we have a chance to extend our season and stay together. And, you know, we had some veteran players, and we just put it all together. And I just remember, first of all, and it's still happening to this day, that we got to host and stay at home and have the final game just because of the fan base here at the University of Oregon. There's just nothing, you know, that you can say against it, because we were able to host because of the number of people we drew at games, and that's still the case today. If you draw a lot, you get that home court advantage. And so we were able to, you know, have the first couple of games here. We even played Michigan State here. I've talked to coaches since, and they just always remember the roar of the crowd. They're like, okay, that is very unique. And then our one travel game that we had to go up to was the University of Washington, and we had struggled against them all year, but got them on their home court to get back here to play against Houston in the final. And, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, the WNIT is lesser than the NCAA. You're correct. But once you get in it and you start competing, there's some great teams. It extends your season. It helps your players to understand the length of the season. When you do go postseason, they've got a year of experience under their belt, and they really understand some of the things that you were talking about during, you know, the normal season to really focus on and get better. And just remember the great shot by Catherine Crafer. Shaquayla Williams came off the screen. She either was going to shoot it, and both of the defenders went with her, and she passed it to wide open Cat, and she just knocked it down. So really cool memories at that time. But, you know, Oregon is doing the same thing right now, and thanks to the community of Eugene and the fans, they're able to host and maybe could host right till the final.
Talking hoops with Bev Smith. As for this particular team, a lot of injury problems. It started with Sedona Prince, Kennedy Basham, Hurst, Van Sluten missed games. And certainly, like Coach Graves said, they did not execute properly late in games. But what did you notice after the disappointment of Selection Sunday about how they were able to kind of shelve all that and just the effort and focus you've seen in these two really convincing wins?
Well, I think I think they've shelved a lot of that disappointment even prior to come home and beat the Arizona schools and to really, you know, have a pretty decent performance in the Pac-12 tournament, losing to Stanford. I don't think you can discount the injuries. A lot of teams go through them. But what I think we've all forgot a little bit about is we can't discount the youth. I mean, you have, you know, basically three freshmen starting with Grace Van Sluten and then Chance Gray and Philly. I mean, that is a young team. And if you look at the teams that are pretty strong right now in the Pac-12 with Utah, with Colorado, even with Washington State, you know, they've got some experience. And I just think that Grace and Chance and Philly have been, you know, really learning a lot. And you can see this now in the postseason. Like Chance Gray, as Terry calls her, was a one-person press the other night and just befuddled Rice in a way that I haven't seen too many senior players do as she has done. And, you know, it was great to see Grace back on the floor, her grit, her grind, her ability to battle on both ends of the floor and stretch people. I mean, those, and then Philly, of course, wow. I mean, it looked like she was going to block the world there for a time. That's what I've seen is that growth, that maturity, that understanding of what coaches were talking about in September is now coming through. And those three, man, you can build your program on. And the other part of that equation is just Tahina and, you know, her resurgence. A lot of us, you know, we look from the outside in, and I know she's been managing some physical things, some family things, but as Kelly mentioned, she's got character, and that has risen to the top, and she's really on fire and a fun player to watch that we have seen in the past. So, you know, unfortunately, their timing is a little off. I also think, you know, you can't discount they had just an incredible schedule in the Pac-12 where they had back-to-back road games when they were injured. And, you know, those things all add up. All teams have to go through them. But I think we forget they're a pretty young team and kind of drinking from the fire hose right now.
Yeah, and this conference is just like you can't take a minute off. I want to get back to Grace Van Sluten, who got off to an incredible start. I mean, game one against Northwestern. And while watching last game, I'm like, somebody teach her a pull-up because, Bev, she was driving to the bucket with such tenacity. I was afraid she was either going to break the basket or her shoulder. So in viewing the entirety of her season, and she did experience some growing pains against great bigs, Mitrovic, OSU, Brink at Stanford, how would you kind of evaluate the progress she's made as a freshman?
Well, you know, she came in with, you know, a lot of tools that you can't teach. You know, her ability to run the floor, her work ethic, her IQ. I mean, those are all things that really – you can't teach. And so she's got those, what I call, you know, just the tools of the trade that are going to allow her to be successful. And now what she's got to do, which most freshmen have to learn, is to have some counter moves. She's great under the bucket. Her spin move was kind of, you know, that was her established move, her signature move. But people scout her, and they know as soon as she goes one way, she's going to turn come back. So they've doubled her. They've tried to, you know, steal the ball from her. And now she's done a little bit less of that. I think her post moves are going to continue just to improve as she begins to read the defense. But you're right, Steve, she's got to add that 15-footer. I think she's got a nice stroke. I just don't think she's was required to do that in high school, and I think that's probably going to be an off season, because if she can pick and pop from that 15 feet range, you know, they're going to have to pick their poison. And that's what's really exciting about Grace, is because you don't have to get her to play hard. You don't have to get her to run the floor. All those intangibles that don't show up on the stat sheet, she's already doing, and now it's just a matter of adding to her game.
Talking some hoops with Bev Smith, you mentioned Tahina. I don't want to gloss over that because it was clear. We never got specifics. She was not herself physically for about a month, starting in mid-January. I mean, I did the math. She was 6 of 32 on three-pointers. Then, Bev, her last seven games, oh, my God, 38 of 63, 60%. You got to see it up close and personal. You know, how apparent was it that she was fighting through some things, but she's just such a gamer and such a leader that she fought through it and now has come out on the other side playing out of her mind?
Yeah, that's really difficult to do. And anybody that's gone through a funk like that, you know, it's very challenging. You really got to lean on your inner strength. You got to lean on, you know, the people that are close to you, and you don't want them feeling sorry for you because you don't need a pity party. But what you do is you need, you know, a party that's going to help you see some tangible things that you can focus on. And what I really saw that just came out of that was just the joy of the game, a love of playing the game for the game's sake, regardless of the outcome, right? Because she's always got some enthusiasm. She's always got that little smile on her face. She always looked devious. She's a little bit crafty. I just saw the joy of the game come back, and I'm not sure how that resurfaced, but she just looked interested in the process more than the outcome. And usually when that happens, when you're interested in the process of just shoot the ball as well as you can, the outcome takes care of it itself. And now she just, there's no second thoughts. There's no doubt. She gets open. She shoots the ball. It's smooth. It's fluid. It's flying. And it's usually not even hitting the rim. It's just singeing the net. And so I think I just saw the joy of the game come back out in her. And that's how she needs to play. That's who she is. And it's been fun to watch.
I want to get quickly one last thing on the Duck women against San Diego. You'll be on the call with TJ. This Torero team, it's their 17th season under Cindy Fisher. You know, they haven't been to the NCAA since 15 years ago. So, I mean, what have we learned about them? Because one thing's for sure, a program in a conference like that, Bev, this is an incredible opportunity for them to take on a Pac-12 program at their place, like in Oregon, and make a huge splash.
Well, that's the danger of these kind of games, and that's why it makes it very intriguing to watch, because I think like Rice, you know, they came in, they're a tough mid-major team, and they have nothing to lose. They are here. They are ready to play. They're going to give you their best shot. They're playing a Pac-12, you know, former Final Four team. And I think that's a part of what's hard for this young group of Oregon Ducks, too, is they're still kind of playing in the shadow of the Big Three and that Final Four appearance. And I know that's a standard for Oregon right now, but it feels at times that this team is defending all of that rather than trying to be aggressive and going out and, you know, sort of having their own signature wins and their own way of doing it. So I think if Oregon keeps reaching to write their own story in this WNIT for this group, I think they're going to be fine against San Diego, but they have to be ready. As Kelly said, you know, everything we do is on the other side of hard, and each and every team is going to come at us with their best shot. And we've got to be primed and ready to do that. And I think, you know, they've had some quarters where, you know, they've let people stick around. The second quarter against North Dakota State, they just upped the intensity and took off. And they didn't get that done until the third quarter of this last game against Rice. So I know that the coaching staff is hopeful that they can, you know, get out and impose their will in the first quarter so that they can really make the most out of these competitive experiences that they have at hand.
Okay, on to kids sports as we continue with Executive Director Bev Smith. You were talking about this, and I've read about this amazing basketball season that just concluded, and some of the numbers you sent me are kind of astonishing. Bev, what about the effort on behalf of, my goodness, so many, from the kids to the parents to the coaches to your people, who just made this season such an amazing accomplishment?
Well, incredibly special and truly heartening. I just can't say enough for this community of parents and volunteer coaches. We had, as some may have known, we had 2,900 kids in our program this winter, which was 900 more than last season. So it was
wow.
A big, big lift for us. And, you know, so that's 290 head coaches, not even talking about our assistant coaches. They were unbelievable. I don't think we had to, you know, sometimes we have to let go of a team because we don't have a coach. We didn't have to do that. Someone stepped up to the plate to coach. Our parents are great because they do help us with some of the scorekeeping. And I just want to take my hat off to the officials, the basketball officials, and our director of officials, Adam Wilgus. He had at least two officials to each and every game, you know, and we had 158 games on the weekend. And I just, the commitment that those officials have to the kids in this community, I think we have to just take a moment and realize how fortunate we are, because we have some cities calling us and saying, can we use some of your officials? We can't get enough people out to officiate. And so it takes a village, Steve. It really does. We need our spectators and our fans to really respect our officials when they are out there. We have some young officials that are just learning the ropes, and, you know, that's probably not the favorite part that they get yelled at. You know, it just takes a village. So I just really tip my hat off to our community of kids sports parents, coaches, officials, and then all the gym supervisors that work with us to open the 10 different sites. I got to thank the school district for making it possible to use their sites on the weekends. And we use a lot of University of Oregon students and community college. So The lift is huge, but we don't do it by ourselves. We have a great, great team, and just kudos to everyone, because a lot of kids had a lot of fun playing the game, and we really needed it given just what we've gone through the last couple of years.
And again, learn way more, kidsports.org. And Bev, if there's a time to use the no rest for the weary, I think it's applicable here. Folks, she's Bev Smith. It's always fun catching up with all she's got going on with Kids Sports, sitting beside our buddy Terry Johns, calling hoops, WNIT round 3 at Matt Knight Arena against San Diego. On Twitter, it's at Kids Sports for Life. Use a numerical 4, please. Bev, always appreciate the time. Have a great broadcast, and of course, always look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Steve. Thanks for checking in, and go Ducks.
All right, take care. Again, learn more about all their camps and clinics and registration for various sports. If you want to be a volunteer, donate, all of it, kidsports.org. We break, we return, 95.3 The Score.